Paul Wallace is an internationally best-selling author, researcher, and scholar of ancient mythologies. Over the last decade, Paul's work has probed the world's mythologies and ancestral narratives for the insights they hold on our origins as a species and our potential as human beings. As a senior churchman, Paul served as a church doctor, a theological educator, and an archdeacon in the Anglican Church in Australia. Paul's work in church ministry has included training pastors in the interpretation of biblical texts. His work in biblical translation and interpretation has revealed a forgotten layer of ancient story, with far-reaching implications for our understanding of human origins and our place in the cosmos. In this video, Paul sits down with Regina Meredith, host of Gaia TV's Open Minds, to confront the uncomfortable truths buried in those ancient texts and the lasting impact their mistranslations continue to have on us today.
This conversation may be a bit in your face if you're a strict adherent to biblical texts. Paul Wallace, an Anglican pastor and former archdeacon, is a biblical scholar and has helped translate a story as to who were the gods in the Bible. They do not resemble what I learned in Sunday school. And why does this matter? Because the same influences are interfering with humankind to this day. Is that fair to say, Paul?
Yes, that's fair to say, Regina.
And welcome. You've come from Australia. I've interviewed you on my side a couple of times, but we haven't had a chance to sit face to face before. So this is fabulous. It's a real treat.
It's great to be in the same room with you. Thank you.
So here we are. The word hermeneutics. You're a religious educator that specializes in hermeneutics. What is hermeneutics? Because
right.
I just think of hermetics, but that's not what it is.
Hermeneutics is a great word. It's the principles of interpretation. And so one of my roles in my 33 years in church-based ministry was training pastors. And I trained them in the history of Christian thought and hermeneutics. So we would find the tools to work out what's in the text. How can we get out of the text what the writer intended instead of us reading things in? And so we would look at source analysis. Where does this text come from? Is it the original form? If it isn't, how does it differ? Why? What does that mean? Form analysis, what kind of literature is it? And then the linguistic question, what do the words mean? So these were the tools that I explored with pastors over a 15-year period. And it was those skills that got me into the whole world of paleocontact, which we're going to get into.
Yes, we are going to. So first of all, let's begin. We'll just start with all of the names for God in the Bible. Let's just start with the names and how they run parallel to other texts, such as Sumerian texts and the sky people, because this launches us right in.
Well, when we talk about the Bible, people think, oh, yes, that's the book about God. But if I were to tell you that there is no word in the Bible for a transcendent, creator, spiritual God, you might be surprised. But there's no word there that means that. There are other words that get translated as God or the Lord or the Almighty.
Or gods.
Or gods. But in my work, I've gone to those words and asked, what do they mean at root? Because if you start reading lexicons, they'll tell you, oh, this translation is uncertain, or this translation is probably inaccurate. So we go to the roots, and the oldest word in the Bible used for God is Elohim, and the roots mean the powerful ones. And all of a sudden, you'll realize that's why there are plural behaviors, plural verb forms. That's why God says, let us make the humans to look like one of us. One of whom? One of the powerful ones. So that's Elohim. Then there are the Bene Elohim. Literally, that means the sons of the powerful ones. But the way it's used suggests it's like the sons and daughters of the American Revolution. It means the ones like, having the characteristics of. So we've got the ones like the powerful ones. That's a second wave. Then you've got El Elyon, the highest. It means the powerful one more senior than the other powerful ones. That's El Elyon.
Mm-hmm.
You notice God hasn't cropped up yet. El Shaddai gets translated as the Almighty. Doesn't mean that. If you go to really authoritative lexicons like Brown Driver's Briggs, you will find that it will tell you that Almighty is an invented translation. It could mean the powerful one of the mountains, could mean the powerful one of the plains. I argue in my book, The Eden Conspiracy, it actually means the powerful one, the destroyer. So when he shows up, introduces himself to Abraham, his opening line is, I'm the powerful one, the destroyer. Walk in front of me and don't put a foot wrong. And that's his introduction to Abraham.
Now, that's where we still are today.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? So when the destroyer comes, and please share with us some of the names of the one who is known as the destroyer.
Well, El Shaddai, the significance of that is, I think, in that moment where he meets Abraham, it sets up this expectation, because we think that's God, we now think we live in a universe where we have to tiptoe
yes.
around for fear of offending the Almighty, the invented translation, because
right.
he's going to punish us. He's going to throw us into hell and torment us forever if we get it wrong. I think it goes back to that moment where we read that as a God text, and it isn't. And I think, as you're hinting, the name of the destroyer occurs all around the world. You go to India, talk about Shiva. There are other names around the world that mean the same thing. And it's a recollection of the same memory in our cultural memory of times when we were invaded, colonized, and overpowered by beings that were not human and that didn't have any empathy with us. And that is a current through the biblical narrative. It's not the only kind of contact we have, because there are other beings who show up who are a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that as well. The reason I love your work and want to talk to you about this is because literally the world is still divided into these mindsets that were all given birth under these same destroyer gods, but pitting us against each other as though one person's God is better than another, when we've really all been raised under the same influence that we have to answer to, that is a master over our lives. And I think most people watching this by now know that is not true.
No, that's not true. And there's a very dramatic moment in the Bible, it comes in Deuteronomy 32, that tells you straight away that the Elohim have invaded our planet, and they're now carving up territory. And El Elyon, the chief, is giving this parcel of land to this powerful one, this parcel of land to this powerful one. And then the Yahweh character gets a people group with no land. So he's in a foul mood from that point on, because he's going to have to wrestle some land off someone else. And so the human beings get caught in the conflicts of these Elohim, who are all jostling up against each other because they're wanting resources, they're wanting hegemony, and we are their foot soldiers. And so we've grown up with this mindset that we are here to serve the higher-ups and all the arguments and conflicts they have. It gets even worse, though, when we translate that community of warring individuals and morph it into a single entity.
Yes, and the only God, the God Almighty.
Yeah. And so then how do you explain the violence? Then how do you explain
brutality.
The lack of empathy? The brutality, yes.
Okay, so this is something I'll just ask you at this point before we go any further. So as a person of substance in the church, how in the world did you ever explain that to a congregation? And I ask because by five, I knew something was wrong.
Yes.
I thought, no, if there's a God, they don't kill people, ask people to give up their firstborn. They would
yes.
never be mean.
Exactly. And children do pick that up.
Yeah.
Children will ask these questions. Why has God changed his mind and decided to genocide everyone with a flood? Why is God punishing 70,000 innocent people? That's not right, is it? Children pick this
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
They know there's something off. And, well, preachers do as well, but...
How do they keep the story going then? I mean,
well,
how did you feel personally when you...
When I came against
yeah.
these texts, yes, I, like a child, instinctively knew these could not be accurate stories about God. And there was a church father way back in the beginning of Christianity who's considered to be the father of hermeneutics. And he came up with a little schematic to help preachers with this problem. And he was saying, if you take the Elohim and Yahweh stories at face value as God's stories, you'll have to believe of God such things as we would not believe of the most savage and unjust of men. So what do you do with it? you look for another layer of meaning. You go for the moral of the story. And if the moral of the story is appalling, you look for another meaning. Is there a prophetic meaning? Is it a metaphor of something else? So he's given this helpful preacher's guide, which is great if all you want to do is produce a sermon. And therefore, brothers and sisters, you know, if that's what you're looking for, fine. But if you're wanting to understand the text, you're going to have to go back to it and ask some deeper questions. And the problem is that most pastors are just as overscheduled as everyone else. They'll come across the text. They'll find a way to preach around it and think, I'm going to have to get back to that and work out what's really going on there. And then they never do get back to it. And it was really only because I was invalided out for a while with an ultimate frisbee injury that I had the opportunity to go back to some of these texts and think, well, what really is happening there? If it's not a God story, what is it a story about? What was it our ancestors wanted to know here?
To watch the full interview, available exclusively on Gaia, follow the link in the description or head to our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifthkind.